Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Well, we got another treat for everyone tonight. Our local MMA expert, Mr. Kalani Lua, is back on the scene tonight. Mr. John Scully, if you look on Nuvo, you'll see him. They're doing the finals for the knockout series. Right now, Scully is 1-1. His third fight will be in soon. And also, Roy Jones Jr. will be headlining this knockout series. But right now, let's join our guest today, Mr. Kalani Lua. Kalani, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, James, what's going on, man? Doing good. You know, the weekend's about to be over with, so just knocking out some energy. But Monday's going to be here soon enough. But good to be in here talking some sports with you, my man.
Man, hey, not only that, but we got, you know, we're finally starting to see some NFL. So, you know, the smell of football's in the air, you know. But, hey, man, you know, there's a lot of news breaking out in your sport, the MMA theater. We have some big fights coming up. We have a big card coming up December 12th at the MGM Grand, the house that Floyd built. Hey, man, let's talk a little bit about that world of MMA and some of the headlines. And let's start out with, that year-long suspension for Anderson Silva, 40 years old. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? You know, the bogus explanation, the one-year suspension. And, hey, man, what is in the cards for Anderson Silva?
I got to tell you, you know, for a lot of MMA fans, especially Anderson Silva fans, to see him being suspended for a year when he's already been gone for 7 months, it really was a sting. But, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know, Nevada State Athletic Commission, UFC trying to crack down on guys who are failing their drug tests due to PEDs and steroids. And for those who don't know, Anderson Silva, one of the greatest fighters of all time, failed a drug test from his January 31st fight. He had what he called a bad case of Viagra pills in his system is why he failed. Apparently, if you see the commercials, Cialis pills to help men with erectile dysfunctions, apparently he got some of those, but they were from Thailand. They must have been laced or tampered with some other ingredients that forced him to fail the drug test. Nevada State Athletic Commission was not hearing it. And credit to them. They weren't just saying, hey, he's already served 7 months, so he's only got to serve five more. No, they said he's going to serve a year. They're also going to fine him a certain percentage from his winning purse. And then on top of that, another amount, which ends up coming to a total of about $350,000 or $380,000, somewhere within that range. So that's a lot of money that Anderson Silva had to hand over. He's already adding another year to his suspension. Anderson Silva, 39, 40 years old, going to be gone for a year. Now, he does say he still wants to fight. But within his year of being gone, one has to wonder, is this going to be time for Anderson to be with his family, be around his kids, and maybe think, hey, maybe it's time for me to hang up the gloves? Or with this year off, is he going to be focused and dedicated to training all year round? And then when he comes back, hopefully he's back in the form of being the Spider Anderson Silva, which we all know him for. But it was a sad day, but for some, it was something that they kind of suspected. There used to be an organization in Japan in the early and mid 2000s called Pride MMA. A lot of fighters from there came over to the UFC, and not saying that they all were using, but there's been quite a few of those guys who have come over to the States and in their years in the UFC at different times have failed drug tests. So it is one to question if these guys are just bringing over some of the bad habits that they picked up in Japan or whatnot. But justice was served to a certain degree. Whether you like it or not, Anderson Silva, the great middleweight champion, he's going to be gone for a year. And it's going to be interesting to see when he does come back, who the UFC is going to be looking to match him up against.
Yeah, now, you talk about him coming back, but, you know, now, like you said, you know, at the first we were thinking, you know, that it was going to be a year suspension from the time of the fight. You said that, you know, now they're going to make it a full year. It's not going to be, you know, the 5 months. You did mention, you know, that he is 40 years old. And I mean, you know, we all know what you know, he has contributed to the sport. We know what a great fan base he has, but 40 years old, not having a real fight. I mean, you know, we see, you know, the effect that it has on boxers. Now, you know, in a sport like MMA, you know, I mean, is it realistic for him to come back at the age of 40, even though he is, you know, the great Anderson Silva, 40 years old, you know, trying to make it in such an elite sport as the UFC?
Very good point there, Jay. And yeah, Anderson Silva could still come back at 40. One thing about Anderson throughout his entire career, unlike a lot of MMA guys, and even, you know, we see it in boxing, he hasn't been in a lot of knockdown, barn burner, slobber knocker type wars. He hasn't been in one of those to where, you know, he was in a 3 or 5 round battle that just took so much out of his body. That it, you know, it essentially took years off of his career or years off of his life, as we like to say in the combat world sports. So Anderson, you know, he's been the benefactor of his style of defense, not getting hit a whole lot, and just throughout his era of dominance since 2006 until a couple of years ago when he was dethroned, where he really wasn't tested as much physically in the striking department. So we look at it and we say, well, he's 40, and that is true. That would be a very tough age for anyone to come back from. But outside of his leg injury that he suffered against Chris Weidman, which a lot of people think is why he was taking some extra medication that caused him to fail the test, is because he was trying to get his leg back healthy to 100% faster than just letting it heal naturally. But we also see in the middleweight division, there's Dana Henderson, who's 44, 45 years old. He just picked up a big win in his career over Tim Boach. The Hall of Famer, Randy the Natural Couture, who is widely considered one of the greatest heavyweights of all time and a two-division champion. He fought well into his late 40s. In fact, I think he was 50, 51 years old during his last fight. Could Anderson come back at 40, 41? Yes, I believe he could. Could Anderson maybe compete with the elite guys in his division at 40, 41 years old? That remains to be seen. Chris Weidman is the current champ. He'll be putting his belt on the line later this year on that December 12th card, as you mentioned earlier, against Luke Rockhold. Anderson may not be able to beat those guys or hang with them anymore, but could he hang with the middle of the pack type guys like a Michael Bisping, a Tim Kennedy? Sure, I definitely think that there is room for him there. Would he want to take those kind of fights, though? That remains to be seen. But he definitely could come back at 40, 41 years old and still be a relevant fighter. I mean, for his suspension and for people who don't like him, there's a whole lot of people who do like him, not just here in the States, but he's got all of Brazil behind him as well. So there is a large number of fans who do want to see Anderson back in the cage, even if it's for one time to end his career in what many consider the right way. So he definitely could make a comeback. He just got to take care of himself, get clean, and stay in the best shape that he possibly can while he's away.
Yeah, now, you know, we've seen some of the, well, let's say some of the good guys or some of the guys that have, you know, pretty good reputations, guys that are also UFC stars that have had some pretty harsh words. What was your take on some of the words by Chanel Soan? And I believe the other champion that has some really harsh words was actually it was the reporter Brett Okamoto. What is your whole take on this? You know, like I said, you know, the way the UFC is handling it, the way the Nevada commission is handling it, and you know, I mean, considering, you know, we've just seen the fallout from the domestic violence. We've always, you know, one of Ronda Rousey's biggest things, you know, is the fact that she wants to fight a fighter, a cyborg, but she wants to make sure that she's clean. So what is your take on you know, the way that this whole thing is being handled by the commission and Dana White? Are they really trying to clean up this sport, and are they basically using Silva as the poster boy to clean up the sport?
Well, I think the UFC, they are trying to clean up the sport, and just like with the Nevada State Athletic Commission, they're trying to clean up the sport of MMA. For the fans listening, remember, mixed martial arts as a competition, as a professional competition, has only been around for 22 years. It started in 1993. So it's not like it has the rich history of the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball to go off of and say, okay, these rules were implemented, and we've just been updating them as they go along. For the most part, in the last, I want to say, 3 to 4 years, the UFC has come over more scrutiny because it's obviously becoming more popular, more eyes are paying attention to it, more media coverage. And with that, you have the revenue dollars, you have the sponsorship dollars, you have the payment dollars. So, James, you know this, obviously, from watching as many different sports as you do and as well as myself. Guys are always looking for that extra edge. Guys are always looking for something to make them that much better. And unfortunately, we're in a time in place where we look at performance-enhancing drugs as a big no. If you look at Major League Baseball in the 90s, hey, go for it, man. We want to see big home runs. But when Jose Canseco kicked down the door, then everyone looked at it and said, oh, my God, what are you guys doing? Now, we could sit here and have an entire show just on the whole baseball debacle, but that just goes to show you. You always have to try to keep up with what's going on out there. And the UFC, for the most part, was always clean. They never had this type of scrutiny before. But in the past recent years, guys have been selling drug tests. It's been getting out there more and more. Eyes are looking at it. So now people are paying a little bit more closer and more attention to the details. And when they're looking at some of these things, they're saying, hey, this guy, hold on, what's this test showing? What's this guy got in his system? So they're trying to do damage control for the most part. They're trying to make sure that they set an example by not letting anybody walk scot-free when they sell a test. And they're trying to implement these strong, stiff penalties to encourage other guys, hey, get yourself clean, or if you are clean, don't get on nothing, okay? And because if you do, you're gonna get popped. If the legendary Anderson Silva, who we consider to be the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, and that's up for debate with another guy named Fedor, but if someone of his stature could get busted and suspended, imagine what a middle of the pack or lower of the ladder guy can do. So they are trying to set the example. Right now, they're trying to get from behind the eight ball, as you mentioned, with the domestic violence issues. You know, a lot of times you want to say you got damage control plans in place, but you never know how things are going to react and fall once they happen. You know, it's all well and dandy to put a fire code and a fire hazards all throughout the building, but you don't know how anyone in that building is going to respond until an actual fire breaks out and you got to execute. So they're picking up the pieces as they go. They're trying to make sure that they stay in front of everything. And I say for the most part, there's a lot of holes in it, but the UFC is trying to do the right thing by standing by their firm decisions. As far as the bad comments, you got someone like Chael Sonnen who throughout history, for those who follow the sport of mixed martial arts, he does not like Anderson Silva whatsoever for many different reasons. But one thing about Chael Sonnen is he is honest. He is up front. When he failed his drug test and he went in front of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, he openly admitted, I took X amount of this, and that was in my system so I could get better. Now, I may have taken it at the time for different reasons, but I continuously took it, and he owned up to it. For the most part, what we would like to hear from our athletes, and it's one of the reasons why Ronda Rousey, like you brought up, James, is so popular. We want our athletes to be open and honest about how they feel, what they're thinking, and what's going on with them. And a lot of times when these guys get in trouble, just like a kid would in school or anybody else, you try to come up with an excuse on why you did it instead of just saying, hey, look, man, I'm 39 years old. I broke my leg. I wanted to come back and fight soon. I took these pills because they said it was healing me better and to get me back to performance shape. I wasn't trying to do it to necessarily cheat so that I could be that much better. I just wanted to get back to what I was in a faster manner. We remember Deion Sanders, when he made his comeback with the Baltimore Ravens, he was suspended for steroid use, but it was because he had ankle surgery and they had put steroids in his ankle so they could heal faster. So, you know, some of these guys, they would benefit better, I think, in the public eye if they were just open and honest about why they are cheating as opposed to trying to make up excuses, because there's really no excuse for cheating. Just tell us, hey, I didn't study for the test. That's why I had them written down on my lap, and I was trying to hide it from the teachers. Okay, you know what? we'll go ahead, we'll punish you right now, but we'll forgive you in the long run. You try to make up excuses, especially ones that aren't viable, that's something that a lot of people are going to hold against Anderson. So during the suspension, Anderson definitely needs to do some soul searching, and hopefully there comes a day where if he does step back in the cage, he comes clean and people are willing to forgive him if he's willing to be open and honest.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with everything that you said there, Kalani, and, you know, hopefully, I mean, you know, it is a very entertaining sport. Now, you know, I know to a lot of purists, you know, boxing purists and whatnot, I mean, you know, it's not the same, but, hey, you know, we have to acknowledge that the sport is there. It does have a great following, you know, and we have, you know, it's an excuse to have you on the Weekend Wrap. So, you know, hey, kudos to MMA. But let's talk a little bit about an up-and-coming star. We always talk about Ronda Rousey. Talk a little bit about this young gentleman, Mr. McGregor. Is he the real deal?
I got to tell you, James, I've been watching this sport ever since I was a little kid taking karate lessons in 1993, and someone said, hey, you guys want to watch a full contact sport? And they put in a VHS, and I saw mixed martial arts for the first time. Been following it ever since. This guy, Conor McGregor, has done something we've never seen in a sport before. He basically came out of nowhere from Dublin, Ireland. He was talking a big game, very brash, very confident, a lot of charisma to him, and he's backing up what he's saying he's going to do in the ring. Now, for your ears, James, and for everybody else listening, I am not saying he is of this level. I am just using the comparison in this particular situation. But there was another young guy who did the same thing in boxing somewhere in the 50s and 60s who said he was the baddest, he was the greatest, no one could beat him, you can't touch him, I'm the baddest man around, I'll whoop anybody's tail. And when he stepped in the ring, he shut everybody up by doing it. And that guy was Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, or however you like to address him. That's what Conor McGregor is doing right now. He's got a long way to go before being considered Muhammad Ali. I'm not saying he's the GOAT like Ali, but Ali did the same thing early in his career. And McGregor, so far, he's been able to talk the talk when he prepares for fights. He says, hey, I'm going to knock this guy out in the first round, second round. He won't last past this with me. And so far, for the most part, he's been pretty accurate. In his last fight, UFC 189, July 11th, out here in Las Vegas, when he fought Chaz Mendes for the vacant intern featherweight championship, he said Chad Mendes couldn't last two rounds with him. Well, what happened? And in the second round, with just a few seconds left, McGregor puts him away with a straight left, and it blows on the body. The fight before that, he said Dennis Seaver couldn't last two rounds with him. What happened? Second round, TKO from ground and pound. A couple of fights before that, he said this guy wouldn't last a round with him. At the four-minute mark, he knocked the guy out. So McGregor, he's very brash. He's very straightforward with what he says. He's very good on the mic and with the media. And some people don't like it, but one thing that cannot be denied in any sport, whether it's baseball, boxing, track and field, mixed martial arts, if you can shine on the microphone and in front of a camera, fans are going to gravitate towards you whether they like you or they hate you, because there's something about you that just draws them in. One of the reasons the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos games are always on national television is because people are drawn to watching Tom Brady and drawn to watching Peyton Manning. Whether you're rooting for them or you're cheering against them, there's something about them that draws you to want to watch them. And it's the same thing with Conor McGregor. He's very good in the stand-up department. He's very big for the division. He has a very unique style, very entertaining. He's a stand-up guy. So, he's not going to be in too many boring matchups. But so far, he has really been able to market himself correctly to where he's must-see in MMA. And at the end of this year, December 12th, out here in Las Vegas, the most anticipated, and we'll see how the numbers look as far as pay-per-view buys and C-sales, but it might be one of, if not the biggest fight in UFC history when he challenges the long-reigning, 10 years undefeated featherweight champion, Jose Aldo, who's out of Brazil. He has promoted that fight all too well on his own. It's going to be very interesting to see. But right now, James, Conor McGregor has shown he can walk the walk and talk. He can talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yeah. Right now, like you said, I mean, you know, he's one of the hot commodities on MMA. Everybody loves the action that he brings to the cage. And, hey, you know, as soon as you hear McGregor, everybody's either turning their TVs or at least trying to find out what he's saying. Now, we do have a contender that also had a very good reputation. He used to be with Strikeforce. He came over to the UFC, and that was the lightweight contender, Josh Thompson. Now, Thompson has signed, he's left UFC, he's went to Bellator. But just from your observations, I don't know how much you've seen him, but is this a good career move for Thompson to maybe go back down to Bellator and sharpen his skills before coming back up to UFC? I mean, you know, we can all see financially this is a good move for him, but is this also a good career move for him?
I think it's a good career move, and as you said, Jack, also good financially. With the UFC not having this Reebok deal, fighters aren't allowed to have their own personal sponsors that they wear to the cage. Now, we see some guys like Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey, some of the big-name guys, they might have the Monster brand, which also sponsors the UFC. They might have the Monster logo on them. But for the most part, you don't have your own sponsors, which really is cutting into the financial pockets of these fighters. So someone like Josh Thompson, who is a top 10 fighter in the UFC in his respective division, going down to Bellator, no disrespect to the Bellator division fighters and no disrespect to that organization, but let's be honest, it is the level underneath the UFC. They're trying to build their way up, and Scott Coker, who just took over the company a couple years ago, he's working on building it to get to the same level as the UFC. But as of right now, they're underneath them. It could be good for them because you can look at it this way. Now he's going to get his sponsorship money going in the Bellator, the contracts that he's going to be getting there. And if he takes it seriously and keeps himself in check and in shape, which is one of the things that was really holding him back at the UFC, and sometimes mentally he wasn't always there on Fight Night. If he's there mentally on Fight Night, taking on what you would assume is lesser competition, he should be able to dominate and really make a name for himself there. And then who knows? 4, 5, 6 fights into his Bellator career, he's built his name up. Maybe he goes undefeated or he goes 5-1, 6-1, whatever the case may be, has some pretty good fights with big that were entertaining. And now when he's a free agent, he goes back to the UFC, negotiates a little bit more for his fight contract, gets a little bit more and says, hey, not only was I undefeated, but I was knocking guys out. I was submitting them. I'm entertaining. You know, pay me more money. So it could be a good thing for him and whatnot. And then it also, you know, this could be a small, very small snowball starting to roll down the hill because we've heard several other fighters complaining about the Reebok deal and their sponsorship dollars that they're losing. Now you got one of your top 10 guys leaving. If now what happens? Does a top 8, top 6, top 5 guy leave? Does a top 3 guy leave? Does a contender leave? Does one of the champions vacate the title they leave? That probably won't happen in the UFC, but you never know. These guys who aren't getting the upper echelon of the UFC payroll, maybe they start looking at Bellator and start saying, hey, if I can make more over there along with my sponsorship dollars, that might be a better move for me career-wise, not only in the cage, but also financially. This is going to be very interesting to see how the trickle-down effect goes on for the next year or so.
Most definitely. Now, let's talk about some things that are happening in your neck of the woods because we have a big card coming up December 12th in Las Vegas, as I said, at the MGM Grand. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what that card is about and, you know, what does it mean to the UFC? To be, you know, featured in the house that Floyd built.
I'm sorry, Gabe, did you say the December 12th card?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I heard you. Yeah, the December 12th card, okay. As I said, UFC 189 was a huge one. UFC 190 was even bigger. But now the UFC, for their 190, I want to say 94 card, December 12th, out here in Las Vegas, they are going to feature in the co-main event, middleweight champion, the man who dethroned Anderson Silva, Chris All-American Weidman, put his middleweight championship on the line against Luke Rockhold, the number one contender in the middleweight division. This is going to be a fantastic matchup. Wrestlers, strikers, these guys are going to go at it. They have a lot of charisma. They are very confident fighters. It's going to be action-packed. Trust me, this is not going to be one of them dull fights that just says, oh, well, they're just doing a lot of holding. There's going to be some heavy bombs being thrown. And in the main event, we are finally, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to see Ireland versus Brazil, Conor McGregor, the interim featherweight champion, taking on the current featherweight champion, 10 years undefeated, knocking everybody out. The king of the UFC featherweight division so far, the only official featherweight champion in UFC history, Jose Aldo. These two are going to fight. Aldo, for the longest time, has been the king of that division. He has wiped it out. He's been the who's who in that division, from Uriah Faber to Chaz Mendez to Frankie Yeager to anyone who even wanted to step down and cut weight to his division to challenge him for the title. He's served up all comers. But Conor McGregor, the young, the charismatic, the rising star, you know, he's coming up talking a lot of games. Can he back it up against Jose Aldo? We shall see. And that is going to be a huge card. And like you said, James, they're in the house of Floyd Mayweather. Whether or not Floyd Mayweather's last fight is this September remains to be seen. But the UFC, they've had a lot of big fights there in the MGM. And this will be Conor McGregor's third time at the MGM. Who knows? Could we be seeing Conor McGregor making the MGM his brand new home and saying, hey, since the king in boxing, Floyd Mayweather, is retiring, maybe it's time for someone else to not only be king of this division, but king of the MGM Grand. It's going to be a huge fight. It's a great way to end the year for the UFC. They always try to put a big card on in December if they can, and this is certainly shaping up to be one of them. I can't wait, especially living here. The hype, the atmosphere is going to be crazy, and hopefully, God, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully I'm able to get some tickets on the cheap to get myself in there, even if I'm up in the nosebleed, because that is going to be a must-see event right there.
No doubt. And like you said, I mean, you know, perhaps Floyd, you know, will have his last fight in September. We never know. You know, and, you know, it is possible, you know, that this could be, you know, the UFC could make its home there. We haven't seen any other boxing personalities really been able to take over that venue. So, you know, that might be, you might have something there. Now, another gentleman that kind of made a little bit of news. Now, Amir Khan has purchased some shares in the MMA. He has a stake in a fight league. It's an India-based MMA promotion that just founded in 2012. But with all the, you know, criticism around boxing and the way that boxing is being run, is MMA, I guess I want to say, is it becoming a good investment? And as far as sports promotion, especially in the bigger cities like Las Vegas, as we know, I think New York is one of the few states that's still holding out on MMA. But has it become financially, like you said, feasible, you know, with the fighters not being able to make it the profit that you see other fighters make?
Well, you know, I certainly believe that MMA is trying to become a place where you could invest some money into. Unlike boxing, with mixed martial arts, it's not ran by promoters. It's more off of a company or promotion. If you look at the UFC, one of the reasons the UFC puts on the big-name fights, you know, the McGregors and the Aldos, and they seem to put them on with relative ease, and it doesn't take as long, is because there aren't promoters running every single fighter. They're all under one brand, which is the UFC. It's kind of like the NFL. You know, the NFL schedule comes out. Teams don't try to negotiate, well, when do we play the Broncos? Well, I don't want to play them in November. Let's play them in September. Well, I don't want to play them in Foxborough. I'm going to play them up here in Mile High Stadium. No, the NFL is going to make your schedule. This is what it is. Go out there and play. And that's what the UFC is. And that's what basically all the major mixed martial art organizations, not only here in the States, but around the world are. They're not ran solely by promoters, which boxing really is. And I know PBC is trying to change that format, but, you know, big boxing is ran solely by the promoters, which why sometimes, you know, we don't get the big fights when we should have. We don't get the Leonard and Hagler when we should have. We don't get the Mayweather-Pacquiao when we should have. It takes a while because it's promoters having to negotiate with each other. So I definitely believe that it is a sport worth investing in, especially if you have the money, the means to do so. It's growing, popular every day. It is a trend that more and more people are getting into. It's not just good for fighting, but for a lot of gyms now. They even offer mixed martial art classes for people to get in shape for. You don't have to just want to be a fighter. It's just like trying to do CrossFit. Instead of going there and just lifting the weights regularly to try to become a bodybuilder or whatever, you can go in and you can take CrossFit classes, yoga classes. Now you can take mixed martial art-based classes where you can get yourself in shape and kind of feel like a fighter yourself without having to get punched in the face on the regular. So it is a sport that is definitely growing, and you can see it now with the UFC having a Fox Sports 1 deal. ESPN talks more and more about the McGregors and the Rousey. More so, the more the eyes that become on the sport, the bigger it becomes, the more people want to see it, and the more money there is to be made in it. So for Amir Khan to be doing it, that's one step. I've read reports and I've heard interviews where Floyd Mayweather says at some point where he steps away from boxing, he wouldn't mind representing some MMA fighters as far as being there, having them with Mayweather promotions. So, you know, it is definitely a sport that is on the come up, and just like with companies like Microsoft or Google or Yahoo or Apple, you want to get in front of something before it blows up. And unlike the NFL, baseball, and basketball that was around, you know, many, many years ago, mixed martial arts hasn't been around that long, so it's definitely something that's still on the rise. You can put some money into it, and you can reap the benefits as the year goes on, as the sport grows. So it's definitely a smart business move. I wish I could do the same, but I don't got the means to do so like Amir Khan does.
Yeah, believe me, there's no amount of money we're going to get on the GI Bill that's going to enable us to invest in anything more than a bus pass. But
you're right about that, Jay.
Matt, hey, it's always good to share the air with you. You know, talk a little MMA. I know you don't do a lot of boxing things, but, you know, I know this is one of your pet projects here, so it's always good when we have a chance to talk a little MMA on Sundays or whatever day. Like I said, Mr. Scully is right now, he's up at Foxwoods. You can watch him in between rounds in most of these fights. It's on Nouveau at this present time. But Kalani, tell everybody what you have going on in social media, where they can find you, and hey, I look forward to seeing you Thursday on the Sports Grid, my man.
Yeah, definitely. Always good to come on here, Jay. I truly appreciate you inviting me on to come on to talk to MMA and to talk to other sports throughout the week. I do follow some boxing. Now, granted, I may not know all the intricacies of boxing and the low-level guys, but if it's big-name fighters or guys, you know, who are out there with a no-name, I do happen to tune in. I'm very sorry that I tuned in this past Friday to the Tarver fight. That was a waste of my time watching that. I literally felt bad for myself that I wasted my time watching. But be that as it may, it is what it is. Look, football is in the air. Me and you was talking about it slightly earlier. Football is coming back. Cannot wait for that. For those of you know, I'm trying to work out to where I'm getting a morning radio show. Not my own, but I'm trying to work with some other people that I know out here in Vegas to where they do some morning podcasting, and they want me to come on and be the sports guy for them. So I'll see how that goes about. But you guys can always find me on Twitter at KLua11. That's KLUA11. You can also follow my sports page on Facebook. That's All Things Sports on Facebook. That is my sports page. Go ahead, give it a like. I'm putting articles out there. During the summer, it's been a lot of boxing and mixed martial arts related, but now with football coming back, you're going to see a lot more football stuff, and same thing when basketball season comes around. I cover all the sports, but I just try to cover the main stuff. I don't do a whole lot of gossip on there. I just try to give the real good stories and info and stats that I like out there for sports fans to be involved in. So give me a follow on that. And James, as always, my man, always good to talk to you on here. Glad to be back in the mix. And like I said, you guys, give me a follow on social media, and come Thursdays, we'll be at it again talking sports. And I can't wait. Football season in here. And for everybody that don't know, James, I know you're a Steelers fan, but this year might just be the year of the Silver and Black to start making that turnaround that we've been talking about, which seems like forever. So it's going to be a fun time. Can't wait.
All right. You have a great night, my man, and I'll see you Thursday.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That was Mr. Kalani Lua. Host of a lot of my sports shows, does my basketball and football. Right now, it's time for us to have a little straight talk with Mr. Ronnie Shields. So let's pull Ronnie up here on the line. Ronnie and his fighters just came off of a great night of boxing on Spike TV. Mr. Shields, how are we doing this evening?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Oh, man. You know, there's a lot of things I want to talk about. There's a couple things that I don't want to talk about, but we have to talk about. Let's get some of the unpleasantness out of the way first here. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Antonio Tarver and Steve Cunningham. Ronnie, even though, you know, that the fight had a good build-up, you know, we all were expecting, I think, a little bit more out of the fight. But, Ronnie, what did you take away from this draw?
Actually, I thought Steve Cunningham won the fight. You know, I had it like eight rounds to four, you know, in favor of Steve Cunningham. I thought he pushed the fight. I thought he, you know, he did everything he was supposed to do to win the fight. So, you know, he threw more punches. He landed more, you know. So what can you, can't ask for more than that from a fighter, you know. I mean, it was a good, decent fight. But, you know, I still thought Cunningham did more than enough to win.
Ronnie, you know, we've had this discussion about Steve before. I mean, you know, there's been, I think, four fights that you know, his losses that you know, we could really look at and just say, you know, I mean, really? Is it the fact that maybe we don't, the boxing community doesn't give Steve the credit that he deserves because he's always fighting a fighter that has a bigger name than he does?
Well, I can't say that because Steve Cunningham is a huge name by itself. But the thing about it is Steve is not a heavyweight. He's a cruiserweight, man. He only weighed 204 pounds for the fight. You know, drop another 4 pounds, he right at cruiserweight. I understand why he's fighting at heavyweight because, you know, the money is much bigger at heavyweight. But, you know, the guy is so experienced. He's so good inside the ring. You know, he's always in great condition. And, you know, I mean, I like Steve Cunningham, man. And I think he just, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what these judges looking at when this guy fight, maybe because he's not a one-punch knockout kind of guy. Maybe they figure, you know, his punches aren't strong enough. I mean, I don't understand, man. You know, the guy, you know, he does everything that a fighter can do to win, and he still doesn't get it. So, but, you know, the thing about it is that he, you know, he still continues to try, and that's all you can ask for, man. You know, he's a warrior, man, and he can fight. And one day, you know, who knows? You know, he might get that big shot, and he might win the championship of the world. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I worry about with Steve, Ronnie, the fact that Steve has a big heart. He'll get in the ring with any fighter. And he holds himself righteous in any bout, but he's taken a lot of punishment, like you said. I mean, he's a cruiserweight, getting punches from these heavyweights. And the thing I'm worried about, Ronnie, is, you know, the longevity of his career as opposed to his quality of opponents.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, Steve fights the best fighters out there. And, you know, and he's always been known for fighting the best fighters. And you got to give him a lot of credit. You know, this is a man, you know, he fights back to back to back to back to back great fighters. So he doesn't run from anybody. He'll fight anybody. And I think you got to respect that. People in boxing have to get this guy a lot of respect because, you know, he's not a big puncher. But, you know, he's a smooth fighter, man. And, you know, and this is boxing. This is what he does. This is, you know, this is his job. This is what he wants to do. So I don't fault him for taking big fights because, hey, you know, I mean, I hope he's getting paid real well because, you know, he deserves all the pay because he fight big fight after big fight every time. You know, this guy don't take a break, you know. And he's a warrior. And, And I commend him. You know, he takes his craft seriously. And this is what fighters are supposed to do. This guy doesn't run from good opponents. Hey, they say, hey, you fighting King Kong? He says, tell me why I sign. And that's the kind of fighters we need.
Most definitely. And, you know, I mean, just if, like you said, you know, you follow his career, you can see he fights anyone, anytime, anywhere. All he wants to know is what weight class he's fighting in. But now let's go on over to the opposite corner, Ronnie. Not being a part of the game physically, but I think, you know, for Antonio, I just don't think that he should fool around in that heavyweight division. I didn't think that he showed enough in that fight to put himself into a big money making position. What do you think about that, Ronnie? Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, man. I mean, you know, I mean, it's really hard to say on what a man shouldn't do and what he should do. You know, Steve Cannon is a grown man, and you know, while he's a very small heavyweight, I go back and I look at a guy like Evander Holyfield, who I worked with for like 10 years, and you know, Holyfield was a small guy also, but Holyfield handled himself very well against the big boys. So Steve Cunningham, you know, look, you know, it's, you know, I think he's winning some of these fights. He's just not getting a decision. So, you know, I mean, why it could be discouraging for him, I think, you know, it says a lot about how good he is. So, you know, people gonna have to deal with him one way or another.
But are we still going to have to deal with Antonio Tarver?
Well, of course you're going to have to deal with Antonio Tarver. You know, Tarver's not going anywhere. You know, Tarver is one of these guys that, you know, I mean, you have to give him a lot of credit. He's a smart fighter. You know, and the good thing about Tarver is that he bought his punch up from light heavyweight. So he can still punch. And, you know, but I think it says a lot about Steve Cunningham also that, you know, he got hit with a lot of good shots, but, you know, but he took them. And, you know, while Tarver still thinks I read somewhere where he say he took Cunningham to school, I think he's the one that got schooled. You know, not Cunningham, I think he got schooled. So, but Tarver, you know, he'll get another fight. He wants to fight Klitschko, and Klitschko is just too big and too strong for him. Klitschko would definitely knock him out. But, you know, Tarver wants the payday. So, but, you know, but Klitschko got other means he has to take care of first before he even look at a guy like Tarver. But, you know, Tarver, I think the best thing for Antonio Tarver right now is to stay busy. He's not busy enough. You know, fighting one fight, then don't fight again for 6-7 months. That's not good for any fighter. You know, Tarver, you know, he needs to shake the rust off and keep training and keep fighting. And then, you know, he may have a chance to win a big fight.
But, you know, I guess the biggest thing I'm looking at, Ronnie, is, you know, the 46 years that he spent. Now, you know, I understand he didn't take a lot of punishment, you know, during that time and whatnot, but I just think that it's time to let, you know, sort of give the young boys a chance. I mean, I can't say, you know, I'm just a little taken aback by some of these older guys still getting in the ring when we have some of these young guys that, I mean, you know, they're paying their dues, they're coming up. You know, boxing is finally starting, you know, to be shown on free TV, and I just think, you know, that we should be showing some of these young and up-and-comers instead of, you know, some of these older guys that have already, you know, been through their prime. Now, Ronnie, you know, Ring Magazine has stripped Floyd of the 154-pound title. But, Ronnie, when was the last time we seen Floyd even fight at 154? And, you know, what does this mean?
Well, the thing is, he's never fought at 154. That's the problem. Well, he did once when he fought Cotto. He fought and beat Cotto at 154. So that was the last time we've seen him fight at 154. He defended it at 152 against Canelo. He defended it at 147 against Madonna. But, you know, I mean, look, I mean, they stripped him of a name as the best in the division. That's all they did. You know, he still got his titles at their weight. But look, man, I just think a lot of people, you know, are just sick and tired of all these different champions in all these different weights that nobody know who nobody is. You know, and that's the problem. Until they fix that, you know, it's going to continue to happen that, you know, people don't know who is who in the sport. And that's a shame. But, you know, but this is the great thing about the PBC that I really love is they don't announce what organization the championship is from. You know, they just say the winner and the new champion of the world. That's it. So people don't have to continue to, you know, saying, well, what champion is this or who champion is that? You know, you just win the fight and go home.
Yes, that's basically, I mean, you know, that, like you said, that should be all there is to it. But, you know, just because it's Floyd and because it's, you know, just because it's Floyd is the only reason why we're talking about it. Like you said, I mean, you know, it's not like it's an actual sanctioned title or anything, but, hey, it's Floyd. Floyd makes news. Ronnie, what did you think about the big upset, Mr. Marco Hupp? I don't think anybody had given Glowacki a chance. What was your impression of that fight, or did you get a chance to see it?
Absolutely, I saw it. You know, I was, you know, my heavyweight, Arthur Spilker, he grew up with Glowacki, and he told me, he said, he's going to win by knockout. He said, the kid is strong, he's powerful. And all during the week, during the press conference, Spilker told Huck at the press conference, he's going to knock your ass out, just like that. And him and Huck had words, you know, Spilker and Huck had words, and Spilker said, look, he's going to knock him out. He's going to knock you out, simple as that. And he told everybody that his guy was going to knock him out. You know, that's just, you know, he was confident because he said, man, my guy can punch with both hands. He said, he's really good. He said, I'm telling you, he's going to knock Huck out. And you know what? He was right.
Oh, most definitely. And you know, for those, a lot of people that didn't get a chance to see it, to me, it wasn't even a close fight. I mean, you know, hey, he came in, took care of business, established, who he was right from the beginning. And you had said last Sunday, I believe it was, you had said, you were talking about Mr. Spilker and what he had said about this gentleman. So, yes, it was right on the button. Now, let's talk about your fighter. Even though he got the W, I'm sure it wasn't quite in the manner that you wanted. Ronnie, what exactly happened in that fight?
Well, you know, in the first round, they came out, Spilker hit him with a couple shots, and then Spilker hit him with a right hook. And, you know, and the guy's head went one way and his body went the other way. First time I've seen something like that happen. And he, I don't know if he twisted his knee or broke his ankle. I don't know what happened. But he continued fighting. So in the second round, you know, I just told Spilker to stay on that side and just keep shooting punches. Then Spilker hit him with a right hook again and dropped him. And the guy got up. Surprisingly, he got up. But then he, you know, then the bell rang. He went back to the corner and didn't come back out. And they took him out on a stretcher. So I don't know if he tweaked his knee, broke his ankle. I mean, I don't know exactly what it was. But, you know, the guy, you know, he was a legitimate stoppage. You know, the guy got hurt. But like I said, when Spooker hit him with the hook, you could see his knee went one way and his body went the other way. And first time I've ever seen something like that. So the guy was hurt real bad. But, you know, he tried. He got up. You know, he went another round, but, you know, he just couldn't. He couldn't stand up, and so they stopped the fight.
Ronnie, you know, you had some very distinguished fighters. You know, you hey, heavyweight champions. Where do you rank right now? Where do you rank Mr. Spilker in terms of his development? I know you've only had a few fights, but you know, like you said, I mean, you know, when this guy came over, he had a reputation as a puncher, and you seem to have improved his technique as well as his footwork. Can you like talk a little bit about us on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's learning every day in the gym, and that's a good thing about him. He wants to learn. He wants to become the first Polish heavyweight champion, and that's what the goal is right now. You know, we still have a lot of work to do. You know, being in the heavyweight division, you fight different styles. And so, you know, you have to learn how to fight every style. So with this guy, we've seen him fight before. And, you know, we started a lot of him on tape. And so, you know, we did what we had to do to win this fight. Now, you know, we don't know who's next, but it's going to be definitely be a contender. You know, we are just in the gym every day learning how to do different things. Go back. We're going to go back and look at this fight. See mistakes that we made, you know, if we made any, and then, you know, then go and correct it. And then, you know, depending on who we fight next, we're going to, you know, sit down, study the tapes again and see what's, you know, put together a plan that we feel he can win and look good doing it. You know, heavyweights are different than any other weights in boxing because if you don't look good, you know, people don't want to see you. You know, you have to look good every time out. And this is what the heavyweight division does. And if you want to be a player and you want to be a name, you want to make the money, then you have to excite the crowd and you have to get people really excited when they say your name. So this is what we're doing. You know, I'll tell you something about Spilker, man. He's one of the guys that he wants to learn. He wants to be in the best shape all the time. You know, the guy trains his butt off every single day and no complaints there, you know. But still, all in all, we're not perfect. And we probably never will be perfect, but we got to get as close to perfect as possible.
And Ronnie, you know, we talked to a lot of your fighters on the show. Recently, Cowboy Carl and also Tough Love. And the one thing that I get away from all these guys is that as big as Mr. Spilker is, he seems to be the one that all the guys gravitates to. He seems to be kind of like the flash kid in the gym. You know, he's the one, you know, that I want to say younger guys, but I'll say smaller guys kind of look to, you know, he's right out there with the guys, let's just say, playing with the boys.
Well, you know, he is a big kid. He is. He's one of the nicest guys you're going to ever meet, you know, and plus, he's just a lot of fun to be around. Man, his mannerism is just so hyped up. You know, he gets the gym going. You know, all the guys, they love to hang around with him because, you know, he plays, he talks, he loves to have fun. But they see the guy works really hard, and he pushes everybody in the gym. And that's a good thing. You know, when you get in there and you can really push the fighters, you know, push other fighters. And all the guys love to work out with him, you know, especially during the conditioning because, you know, he makes you work hard. And this is what it's all about. You know, this is a team. So all the guys sit together, they work hard together, and, you know, and all the guys want to be champions. So they push each other to the limit.
like I said, you know, all we hear is great things about you know, the big man from all the gentlemen in the gym. Let's talk about another guy that just came out. He just came back off a long hiatus. Looked pretty good in his fourth round stoppage of his foe. What did you think about Lucien Boutet's performance and his comeback over the young DeLuca?
Well, you know, I think they had the perfect opponent in front of him. You know, he fought a guy, you know, with a good record, but a guy that really couldn't do no harm to him. But, you know, but again, you know, this is a great fight for a guy like Boutet, especially coming off a long layoff, especially an injury the way that he had. So, you know, it was perfect for him. And, you know, I was glad to see him get the win. You know, I thought he did really good. You know, his new trainers, they seem to have everything in order. They seem to work with his style. And Boutet still have good power. So, you know, he went out, and I thought he looked great.
Yeah, he definitely looked good. Maybe we might want to see him in another good tune-up fight, let's say, before we put him in there with one of the big dogs. But yeah, he did look good. He handled his business. Ronnie, a fight that I was disappointed, let's say, to say the least, that they say it's no longer going to be made. That was the Timothy Bradley and Brandon Rios. Ronnie, did you ever think that fight was going to be made?
Well, I mean, I assumed it was going to be made because, you know, I mean, look, Top Rank don't have many fighters left, you know. So, especially at welterweight. So, who else can he fight? You know, I mean, you know, Tim Bradley wanted too much money to fight Brandon Rios. Rios had already taken a pay cut, from what I understand. They already took a small cut in pay. I mean, they didn't want, you know, they said that Bradley wanted all the money. You know, they didn't want to pay Tim Bradley anything. And, you know, and that's a sign of running away from a guy. When you have a guy that wants to make all the money and don't want the other guy to make anything. It's not fair. It's not right, you know. But if it was a guy like Floyd Mayweather, they would have ate him alive. But nobody said anything because nobody cares about Tim Bradley anyway. You know, nobody cares, you know. And then they offered the fight, you know. I mean, he has a mandatory anyway with Saddam Ali. And Aram came out and said the other day that Israel wouldn't pay for Saddam Ali. Now, they would pay for Jesse Vargas to fight Timothy Bradley, but you wouldn't pay for Saddam Ali to fight Timothy Bradley? That just doesn't make sense to me. That, I don't understand it. That's crazy. I think it's Aram trying to avoid Saddam Ali because they know he can beat Tim Bradley. And, you know, and then he loses money because he don't have anything to do with Saddam Ali. That's with Golden Boy. And with Brandon Rios, he got both of them. So he make money on both ends. But he couldn't make the fight. So what is he going to do now? Tim Bradley has a mandatory, and it's Saddam Ali. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when things, you know, get tight, you wonder, you know, what people, what tactics they resort to. But Ronnie, now, you know, you finally, you know, and we've been talking about this for a little while now, but it's finally down on paper, I believe. K-9 against Charlo, is that set? Is that signed and sealed now?
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to happen on September the 12th, you know, and at Foxwoods in Connecticut. So, you know, we are training every day. We are getting in the best shape that we can possibly get in, and we, you know, we're just waiting on September the 12th now. We can't do nothing but wait now. So the fight is already signed. It's sealed. And now we just got to deliver the win.
Yes, and it seems like September as well as November are going to be good months once again for us fighting fans. We've also seen now it's finally been signed and sealed. At least I hope it is. But we also know that on November 21st, we're going to finally get the Canelo Cotto deal. That's going to be a good fight. Ronnie, are you glad to see this deal finally signed, sealed, and delivered?
Absolutely, man. I mean, I'm all for great matchups in boxing, you know. You know, this is great for the sport, you know, when we get good fights. You know, as long as we can continue to get good fights, you know, people are going to continue to watch. So, you know, I think it's a great fight, a great matchup, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's signed and sealed, you know. It's signed and sealed because, you know, I know for a while they was having their problems, but now they seem to fix that, and everybody seemed to be happy. So the fight is on. So let's do it.
Oh, hey, really, really looking forward to that one, as well as now, you know, we do have the fight coming up on very soon here on the 28th, Leo Santa Cruz and Abner Mares. As this fight gets closer, Ronnie, what's your anticipation on this?
Well, I think the crowd is going to be really excited. You know, you got two guys that they both are in their, you know, they're both fighting, you know, fighting in California where they both are from. And they, you know, they both want to claim the turf as being the best, you know, I guess 126 pounder in California. So, and I think it's perfect that these guys are fighting in California where they both are from. And, you know, and the good thing about that is I think you're going to have a mixed crowd. You know, one side will be for Mares, the other side will be for Leo Santa Cruz. And then all the television audience that's going to be watching, but, you know, I mean, this is going to be great, man. This is going to be a great night. And, you know, it's going to be a good fight. You know, it just, you know, I can't wait to see it.
Yes, sir. That is a fight that we're going to be anticipating. Now, there's another fight that I'm anticipating, even though it's on pay-per-view, but a fight that I think that's really interesting and that has just been announced is Chocolatito Gonzalez against Brian Valoria. I think this is a great fight, Ronnie. Especially, you know, for two guys in that weight class, you know, two little guys that really don't know that they aren't heavyweights.
Yeah, you know, both guys are really good. But I think Chocolito is the stronger puncher. And, you know, I think he'll knock Brian out. I really don't get into it with these small guys because I hardly ever watch them because I don't have anybody that small. So, you know, I spend all my attention on other weight divisions, but look, both guys are good. I've seen both guys. Both guys are good. You know, Brian Valori has been around forever, seemed like, you know, and the guy's still doing great. So, and he's a good fighter, but I think Chocolito might be just a little bit too strong for him. You know, but look, Brian has a lot of experience, and, you know, it's going to be a great fight, so everybody should watch it.
Yes, most definitely. Now, speaking to some guys that are closer to your weight class, guys around your weight class, Lucas Matisse, Victor Postol, October 3rd, L.A. What do you think, Ron?
Well, that's another great fight. You know, I think it's for the WBC title. You know, I think it's an evenly matched. Well, not evenly matched, but I think Matisse may be have the edge, just a, you know, slight edge, I would say, because he's far part of the better competition, and he has the more experience. And I think he's the stronger fighter. But Postol, hey, he belongs where he is. He belongs to fight for the world title. And, you know, of course, when you step in that ring, both fighters have a chance to win. But, you know, I still say that maybe I think Matisse by a slight edge.
Yeah, I think most of us will agree with that. Ryan, on I guess the co-headliner on your K9 Charlo fight, September 12th, is we're going to see Peter Quillen back in the ring. Now, we just had Peter on the show. It's been a long time since he's been back in the ring. You know, he's had some trouble making weight and whatnot. But, Ronnie, what's your thoughts on that co-main event along with your fight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad to see Peter coming back again. You know, I know everybody's been anticipating him. You know, everybody's looking forward to seeing him fight because they really want to see the showdown between Peter Quinlan and Danny Jacobs, you know, at the Barclays in Brooklyn. So everybody's looking forward to that. You know, and I know Peter's looking forward to it, but he realized that he has a job to do first. You know, he has to take care of his kid that he's fighting first. And that's the most important thing. But Peter Quinlan is an exciting fighter. And I think it's going to be a great night of boxing. And it's afternoon of boxing, actually. Great evening of boxing because the show starts at 4 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be live on NBC. But, you know, it's going to be boxing on all day, man, because first you got Charlo and K-9, and then you got Peter Quinlan fighting. Then you got Vonis Motivosian and Ishe Smith fighting on Showtime Extreme, I believe. And then, you know, then the pay-per-view with Floyd. So it's going to be, from the evening, a great night of a whole day of boxing. So, you know, you get to see most of it for free, except for Floyd and Berto. But, you know, at least the crowd will be warmed up. People will be anxious to keep saying boxing. So I think it's going to be a full day of great, exciting fights.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and you know, now another fight I just kind of wanted, I guess, gently touch on here because I really see, you know, Ronnie, you know, they were talking about once again, you know, we're talking about pay per views here. Is anyone going to watch Mayorga and Mosley? I mean, really?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I don't think a whole lot of, you know, you're going to have some people that watch it, you know. Look, but I think people are going to be really leery to pay for two old guys, pay $50 for two old guys that way past their prime. You know, I don't think nobody's going to buy this, man. You know, he's spending a lot of money, man, on that show, man. And I'm, you know, and I don't want to see Shane fail, man. I really truly don't, because, you know, it's boxing. But, you know, but you can't go up against free television. That's what he has to understand, is that, you know, he should have picked another date, because why would you want to go up against, you know, especially Hispanics? Hispanics love boxing. But when you could see it free, are you going to pay to see two old guys, you know, that's on Jericho, fight each other, you know? And he picked the wrong time to do it. And plus, you know, $50? Come on, man. You're not going, you know, that's not going to do anything. I mean, you know, some people are going to buy, you know, but it's not going to be enough to buy. I mean, it's not going to be enough for him to recoup his money back. He's going to lose and lose a lot of money on this thing. You know, look, he brought in Michael Buffer. Everybody knows Michael Buffer is not cheap. You know, Michael Buffer is not cheap. You know, but he's trying to make it an all-star event. But, I mean, look at his undercard, though. You know, it's not pay-per-view worthy. And, you know, and obviously Shane not getting good advice. Whoever's advising him, really, you know, I'm sure they don't have a stake in it. So they're not losing any money. So they're making him spend a lot of money. He's spending a lot of money, man. And, you know, I hate to see him fail, but I don't see a whole lot of people buying this.
No, I don't either. Ronnie, September 6th, rematch. Andre Duell, Rubio. Your thoughts?
You know, I mean, I think it's going to be another good fight. You know, I'll be there because I had two guys on that card, Cowboy Ryan Carr and Ricky Edwards, are both fighting on that show. But, look, you know, I think Darrell is going to outbox him. You know, I think Darrell is just, you know, he's just a little bit too slick. But, you know, but I think the fans are going to get a really, really good afternoon show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good fight. It's a viable fight. It's just a matter of like you said, you know, what you want to look for that particular day. We are having all kinds of, like I said, you know, for free TV and whatnot, we are going to have some great fights coming up in September, October, also November. So, you know, you say you have two guys on that September 6th card?
Yes, absolutely. I have Cowboy Ryan Carr. He'll be fighting the sixth rounder. And also Ricky Edwards will be fighting the sixth rounder. Cowboy will be he'll be a swing bout in case anything happens. You know, they have to fill in some time. Then Cowboy will definitely get on television. But, you know, but you got the rematch against the other two guys, McDonald and Kameda. So, you know, it was a really good fight the first time. I expect it to go 12 rounds again.
Okay. I'm trying to see some of the other good fights that we have coming up here soon. I just mentioned September 6th. I believe we also have Tuesday, September the 8th, Fox Sports 1. I believe they're making their debut on Tuesday nights. But we have
on PBC, yes.
Back in the ring. Is that PBC? Okay. I know they had just signed in, Fox Sports had just signed an extension. We were talking about that last week. But Austin Trout back in the ring. Ronnie, what do you think? I mean, it's been a little while since we've seen Austin. Is Austin ready to get back in and face some of the top competition again?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well, you know, Austin fought a couple months ago, so. You know, and now he's back against Twinkle Toes or Twinkle Fingers, Hernandez. And, you know, it's a good fight, you know. But I think Austin Trout wins this fight. I think, you know, I think he wins. And I think it's going to be a good fight, though, you know. And it's going to be the first fight, you know, on PBC with, you know, on Fox Sports 1. So. You know, and they have a long lineup. They already listed like a year's worth of lineup already on Fox Sports. You know, they're going to do Tuesday nights, which is perfect, man. You know, get the Tuesday night fights back, you know. And, you know, I mean, I really like the direction the PBC is going in, man. They really put on some exciting fights, man. And I think the fans are really happy now that they're getting really good fights.
Oh, most definitely. Hey, the Friday night fight on Spike out of Toronto. We got young Errol Spence. I mean, this young kid is by himself is worth watching. What do you think about that fight, September the 11th, Errol Spence against Chris Vanderhoorn?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that too, you know. Yeah, you know, that fight is in Canada, you know, and... You know, Errol Spence is one of the up and coming guys that everybody's talking about right now, and I'm sure he's going to have a good showing. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, that's the night before our show on the 12th, so you know, definitely we'll be watching.
Yeah, we also have Adonis getting back in the ring. I mean, you know, light heavyweight. So we're going to have Adonis against Tommy Karpinski. What did you think about that matchup there? Are you looking forward to another knockout by Adonis, or is this going to last a little bit?
I don't know. You know, the kid Tommy Karpinski, you know, he's a good fighter, man. You know, he can go. So you know, I think Adonis knows this. I think Adonis knows he has to be in great shape. You know, but you know, if you watch Tommy Karpinski beat, you know, Chad Dawson, you know, and you know, not too long ago he beat Chad Dawson. So you know, he showed that he can fight, and you know, and he showed that you know, he's championship worthy. So I just think that it's going to be a good fight, but you know, going to Canada, man, that's tough to beat him there. You know, he's very confident in Canada. Adonis is really, you know, he really put on some good shows in Canada. So I think Adonis is going to be going for a knockout definitely. You know, he has to match what Butte did, and I think he really wants to get a knockout.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, we can kind of see that this is what is, the setup is going to be, especially now that we've kind of ruled Kovalev out of this equation. You never can tell, but, you know, I think we can all kind of see where this is headed. Ryan, another quick fight that everything's happened here in September. I believe it's the week after your fight. In Ireland, Andy Lee against Billy Joe Saunders. Ronnie, you know, we've been talking about Andy Lee ever since, you know, he's been with Emmanuel. And, you know, now he's back over in Europe. He's no longer training in Detroit. I mean, he's been gone for a while. But he has managed to make himself number two. He's ranked number two, and now they're fighting for his title. Ronnie, with your thoughts on Andy Lee, and you know, do you think that maybe Emmanuel's smiling a little bit up there?
Oh, absolutely, Emmanuel's smiling. You know, Andy Lee has come a long way, and you know, and he's champion of the world now. I think the thing is that. You know, the fight was supposed to be in Ireland, but when he got sick or something, and now he has to go over to Europe and defend the title. I know that the people in Ireland were really, really mad that they switched the venue to Europe instead of keeping it in Ireland. And, you know, so, you know, things like that happen, man. And, you know, just one of these things that happen in the sport. So, you know, but, you know, Andy Lee is a good fighter, man, and it's going to be a really good fight with him and Billy Joe Saunders.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking down through the schedule here now. Ronnie, you know, we have fights on Fox Sports 1. We have fights on Spike TV. We have fights on True TV. I mean, NBC Sports, Estrella TV. Ronnie, how can anyone deny that PBC is not good for boxing?
Well, the only ones denied it is the ones that are jealous that is happening, that they didn't think of it. You know, and that's the thing, you know. It's funny, you know, and you have to go way back. I remember when Don King and Bob Arum did. They had the free TV on NBC, ABC, CBS. They had it, and all of a sudden they switched, and everybody followed them, and you had to be on HBO or Showtime, and now Al Heyman bought in the PBC, and now, you know, now they realize that, hey, we have to keep up or get out. So, you know, you have to follow suit. You know, if you want to get your guys and keep them busy, then you have to go to a network and you got to, you know, and you have to do what you have to do, you know. But I think they're mad that it wasn't their idea. If it was their idea, we wouldn't have all these lawsuits going on. But, you know, it is what it is, man. They claim they love boxing. You know, boxing is this, boxing is that. But still, all in all, they don't see the big picture that is helping everyone. And, hey, you know what? You snooze, you lose, and they're losing. So they don't like it. But, you know, ask the fighters. The fighters love it. They are loving this thing, man. You know, everybody is recognizing all of these different fighters now. You know, all these guys, social media is blowing up. All these fighters are getting known. They would have never gotten this kind of publicity if it hadn't been for free TV. And this is good for the sport, not for one guy. This is for everybody. It's happening for everybody. You know, so many other guys are getting seen now. And, man, people, you know, I mean, I start running to all these guys now, man. Man, I have family I haven't seen in years, and they saw me fighting this and that. And, you know, people I hadn't seen in years are calling me now and telling me they saw me on television. And, you know, and now it's really working out great that, you know, the fighters are being recognized, and boxing, man, is talked about every single day. And that's great for the sport.
Not just that, Ronnie, but as I mentioned, all the different venues that we have now, I mean, it just seems like boxing is opening up, not just, you know, as I mentioned, not just in Europe, but over here in the States. You know, once again, you got a heavyweight champ putting on another practically local show. You have, you always have, you know, kind of like this Battle of Brooklyn or New York or Philly going on at Barclays Center. Ronnie, as far as competition is concerned, as far as the fighters is concerned, as far as the fans are concerned, this is one of the best, I'll say, years of boxing, and the future is even bright. I mean, looking down now, you can see, as you mentioned, you know, the expanded schedule by Fox Sports 1. You have all of the different fighters. You know, now that they're being, everyone has access to it. But Ronnie, talk to us a little bit about, you know, what the trainers are doing now, because now you guys are more out there in front. You have more of your product to display. Ronnie, what does this also open doors for you guys as trainers?
Well, it does. It does, because now, you know, we get exposure also. You know, people get to really see every, you know, not just the same trainers in a corner every fight when you're watching HBO and Showtime. You know, now they get to see the different guys. They get to see, you know, who you trained before, you know, because they weren't known before. But now they get to say, hey, okay, I did see this trainer before. I seen him with such and such on HBO, or I seen this guy's on Showtime, you know. But, you know, but they, when they see you, they don't see you enough. But now the trainers are getting a lot of exposure, and, you know, and it's just helping everybody out, man. And it's really, really great that, you know, but the most important thing, this is about the fighters. You know, it's, you know, the trainers, we, you know, I mean, it matters to us, but it's a personal thing to us. You know, we don't care about all the publicity and stuff like that as much as the fighters. The fighters are the one who need that, you know, to keep this sport in the eye of the public and to keep everybody going. Our job is to make sure that they're in the best shape possible and have great game plans for them and to put on exciting fights, because that's what people want to see. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I just want to do my job, and I want to do the best I can to help my fighters. You know, if my fighters are doing good, I'm doing good, and that's all that matters.
Most definitely, Ronnie. You know, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, you have to admit, Ronnie, you know, you are the exception to the rule. You have, you know, not only do you care about your fighters, but, you know, you know, sometimes to your own detriment, you know, you do wear your heart on your sleeve where your fighters are concerned. You know, and we love to see that about you, Ronnie, because you definitely get animated sometimes there in the ring. But, Ronnie, as always, man, you know, we love talking to you on Sunday, love talking to you about everything coming up. Ronnie, is there anything special you guys have coming up there at the Plex Gym? And, you know, any fighters, you already mentioned a couple of your fighters coming on, but tell us what you have coming up here in September and August.
Well, and, you know, again, September the 6th, we have Cabo Ryan Carr and Ricky Edwards both fighting on that card. September the 6th in Corpus Christi, and then on September 12th, we have Jermall Charlo fighting Kanan Brundage, Cornelius Kanan Brundage, for the IBF junior middleweight title. And then on October 10th, we're going to be announcing real soon, Evan Rodriguez for be fighting in the main event on the show, October 10th. It's going to be a PBC event. We just don't know what network just yet, but it's going to definitely be, you know, he's going to definitely be the main event. So everybody keep tuning in the box and keep watching, keep supporting all the fighters, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Most definitely. And when did you say Edwin was getting back in the ring, Ronnie?
October 10th.
Okay, yeah, we definitely have to have Edwin on the show, and the other fighters, before you get in the ring, as always, we love having your young guys in the ring on the show. And, you know, they all only have some of the best things to say about Plex and the program and training under you and talking about Steve. And as I said, you know, all the young guys seem to enjoy Mr. Spica. So, you know, having the young heavyweight in your camp, Ronnie, I know that has to be, like I said, as I've always said, that has to be a joy to you. But hey, we look for you to have nothing but success in the future, and we look forward to having you guys on and having you next Sunday. Thank you so much for your time tonight, my man.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Well, everyone, that was a little straight talk with Mr. Ronnie Shields. As you, every Sunday, glad to have Ronnie on the show. He had spent the first 30 minutes there with Mr. Kalani Lua, talked a little MMA. And, hey, we will have Mr. Scully back next week in his usual spot. So have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Weekend Wrap. Look forward to it. And don't forget, Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner, we're looking forward to having Judge Tommy Kazmarek on, along with heavyweight champion, Mr. Deontay Wilder. So have a great night, everyone. And we'll see you Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner and next week on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.